Welcome to the next message from Encounter Church. For more information about our church, visit us online at encounterpgh.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Sung in the Christian church and that are biblically based. And so we're going to be taking that over the next 4 weeks and really looking at those songs, but hearing what God might say to us through them, kind of digging in. I don't know about you. I sing these songs. I mean, A Holy Night is probably the one that I have really looked at the lyrics enough that really grabs me. But some of the other ones that we sing have really deep truths found within them, but don't necessarily really think about them because we just sing them all the time. And so I'm excited for this series. So today we're beginning with the song, O Holy Night, which we just sang a moment ago. And it's one of my favorites. A lot of people love this song. There have been some incredible renditions of it. And was looking into the history of this song. And in the mid-1800s, there was a French priest who wanted to translate some of the story from Luke chapter 2 into a song, and actually, interestingly enough, went down into the town and found a French poet named Placide Capot to write this, put the passage of Luke chapter 2 into a poem. So he translates this into the poem that we know. He was a French wine merchant and a poet. Interestingly enough, this guy didn't go to church. He was not a church-going individual, but he translated the story of Luke chapter 2 into the poem that we know of as O Holy Night. But then they asked another individual to turn it into song, and it became this incredibly popular song in the Catholic Church. So O Holy Night, as we know it in terms of the melody line, the hymn that we know of it as, became incredibly popular. Interesting tidbit that when the Catholic Church found out that the song was actually penned by someone who wasn't a Catholic, they actually wanted to shut the song down and didn't want it sang in the church. But it was so popular that it kind of just had already taken on its a life of its own. Fast forward a few decades later into the early 1900s. In 1906, a man named Reginald Fessenden was a 33-year-old Canadian university professor who did something that many considered to be impossible at the time. He, late in the night on Christmas Eve, had a makeshift generator in his own garage and plugged a microphone into it and broadcasted the world's very first ever AM radio broadcast. And he actually broadcast voice Luke chapter 2. And the first words ever spoken to our knowledge over radio was Luke chapter 2, verse 1, and it said, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world." And then he pulled out his violin and played O Holy Night over the radio. In 1906, the first song played there. I think that's beautiful. And so we just sang this song this morning about the idea of Jesus Christ being born. O Holy Night, right? It declares the night when Christ was born, and it talks about this manger scene. We know in Luke chapter 2, we hear about how Mary and Joseph, who were teenagers at the time, had to travel to Bethlehem because of Caesar Augustus declared that a census was going to be taken. So every person had to return to their homeland, to where their family line was registered. So in this case, Joseph's family was from Bethlehem. So they had to make this journey, which was roughly 80 to 120 miles, and they didn't have cars. They didn't have any like wagons, vehicles, those kind of things. They might have been pulled by something, but these guys most likely were either on camel or on donkey or just kind of walking on foot as they were, you know, taking this long journey. And they arrive, and the Bible tells us, right, that they get to this town and there wasn't anywhere for them to stay. And there are a variety of different interpretations of that. Tradition shows that they were in like a cave, right, or like some kind of a manger type scene, like a little barn type thing. recent history and study, actually one the more I ascribe to, is that it was actually the houses were built to where on a second level underneath was where the animals were, and there was a guest area there. But because the guest area was taken, because it was already the census time, they had to stay in the space where the animals were located, but that most likely it was still in the space where there were family members. So, you know, we hear about this, you know, this moment, right? We look at this actual manger on the top of our bookshelf here, and it looks like this cozy, lovely little space. But I think that these scenes actually do a disservice to the story. If you've ever been, or, you know, maybe watched, I should say, on TV, these scenes of deliveries, right, of baby deliveries, they're not peaceful situations. Oftentimes, it's one of, there's a lot of noise. There are multiple people in the room, doctors coming in and out. It's uncomfortable for the mother. There's, during the time of pushing and those kinds of things, it can be painful. And so it's the last thing that anyone would describe it as is serene and peaceful, right? And yet this was also the moment that the Bible tells us that it was a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. So, like, existing in the same exact moment of this tiring, exhausted journey, not knowing where they're going to end up, getting to where they finally get to the end of their journey into the town where they were there to register and find out that there's no place for them to stay, and then the chaos of that. If you've ever gone to a hotel and they had your room was overbooked, or maybe you went to the airport and you have a ticket and they overbooked their airplane and you're now on standby. If you've ever been in a situation where you arrive somewhere and you expect something to be the case and it doesn't go the way that you expected it to, that moment of frustration, that moment of fear, that moment of having to go into problem-solving mode, all of that was on Mary and Joseph's shoulders. And oh, by the way, she's having a baby at the same time. And yet, in that moment, the Bible says that this moment in history is one that sets the stage for a thrill of hope, for a weary world to rejoice. I think that's beautiful. One word captures the mood of most people that I know, and that would be weary. I gotta tell you, I think that in our modern day, how busy we are, right? How many things that we have to undertake on a given day, we're just tired all the time. We jam pack our schedules full of school and full of work and full of fun activities. Even at Christmas time, which most of us, I feel, how many times have I heard every year we say things like, you know what, this Christmas I really want to slow down and I really want to enjoy the holiday. I really want to take it in. And yet Christmas is the hardest time to do that because there are holiday parties and there are activities that you want to add in to watch different movies or go to different places and do trees and all the different, you know, events. It's so hard to rest and to find time. And that's just the holiday season. So many of us would just say, we'd say, how are you doing? A lot of times we say, we're tired, we're weary. And yet this song says, the thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. And then it says, it's a new and glorious morning. What I want to say to you today as we kind of dig into the scriptures and into the song a little bit is that I think above most elements, the idea of a holy, O Holy Night is a song about the juxtaposition of both being tired and exhausted and being weary and maybe feeling hopeless, and at the same time, the hope that something new is here, and that tomorrow, a new and glorious morn, that there is a newness, that Jesus Christ came and that there's always hope. A new and glorious morn. I want to read out of the book of Lamentations. You'd be like, man, that sounds peaceful and happy. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 20 to 26. This is the prophet Jeremiah. And this is after the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC. Their entire nation has been exiled to Babylon and to Persia, and they are not in their homeland. Their city has been destroyed. The temple has been destroyed. Everything that they knew that was their touch point to their history and to their family and to their religion was destroyed, and they were carried off, carted off to a foreign land where they were slaves, they were living in a land where they had to worship, where they were tempted to worship other gods, forced to do so, eating foods that they didn't, that they were not familiar with or that they weren't allowed to according to their customs. Imagine being just someone not in your own homeland, ripped away. And in that moment, the prophet Jeremiah writes in Lamentations 3, He says, I remember them well. He's talking about all the horrible things that have taken place and remember them. They are seared into my memory and my soul is downcast within me. The situation he's living in, right? And maybe you don't feel like you're downcast in your soul right now, but perhaps there's been a time where you have felt like that, or maybe you do feel like just right now I'm not, I just feel sad and I feel like the world is weighing on me. Verse 21 says, yet this I call to mind. And therefore I have hope because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. I love that. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassion never fails. No matter how much the world wants to eat away at me, no matter how tired I am, no matter how exhausted I am, no matter how weary I am, and I feel like it's swallowing me whole because of the Lord's love and his faithfulness, because of his compassion, it never fails. I am not consumed. They are new every morning, a new and glorious morn. The song is talking about that the thrill of hope, a weary world rejoices. A new and glorious morn has come. They are new. His mercies, his compassion is new every morning. Great is your faithfulness, I say to myself. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. Verse 25, the Lord is good to those who hope is in him. To the one who seeks him, it is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. I love what Jeremiah is doing here. He had every right to be angry at God. He had every right to be downcast. He had every right to give up, right? He could have said, forget this. I'm done. I'm going to be done worshiping the Lord. I'm going to be done. I'm going to just, you know, go with the flow. It's so much easier. Maybe he saw some of his countrymen stop trying to follow the Jewish faith. Maybe he saw some of the other people just, you know, eat the foods that he had to say no to for so long because he was trying to stay true to his religion. Maybe he saw several of his countrymen just start going to the temples of the other gods, perhaps just, you know, intermingling with other people, whatever it might be. And it would be so much easier to do that. Have you ever felt like that? Like that it would be so much simpler to just go the way of the rest of the world, to not hold myself to the standards that God has set forth for me. It would be so much easier, I think, sometimes, especially maybe in the holiday seasons that are not filled with joy or for peace for some of us. Perhaps some of us, it's a difficult time and it's easy to succumb to that and to just kind of to just close yourself off to the world. And what Jeremiah is saying is that I'm not going to do that. Is no matter how sad I feel, no matter how weighed down I feel by my circumstances, I still always have hope that the Lord will rescue me. And so our song today, O Holy Night, talks about the new day that is coming. A new day is coming, maybe literally for us, a new day tomorrow, that each day brings a new possibility. His mercies are new every day, that there's always a chance for something new, something better. Or a new day in the future that we know we hold on to the hope that Jesus Christ will return and he promises. That's the greatest hope of the gospel, is that no matter our afflictions, that there is always the hope that one day all things will be restored. Whatever our prayers are not answered, the sicknesses in our hearts, the sicknesses in our bodies and in our minds that plague us, that one day all things will be restored and we will be healed from those things. But what does it mean to have a new day with Christ? I have three things today that I think we can take out of this song and out of Scripture, out of this passage of Scripture. A new day with Christ brings three things. Number one, a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. Look at what it says in Lamentations 3:24. He says, I say to myself, the Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. That word portion is calling back to when the Israelites were roaming in the wilderness and they had no food. And they cried out, God, give us something to eat. And the Lord sent them manna, which is like a flaky substance that every morning would be on the plants like dew. And they would go out and they would gather it and they would turn it into like pieces of bread. And they would eat that. And they ate it for 40 years. And so when they're talking about this idea of portion, each of them had a portion that they were allowed to get. And they couldn't get any more, and if they kept more, it actually would rot, and it would, you know, turn into kind of a nasty thing they'd have to throw out. So there was a specific allotment for them, the portion for them. And so Jeremiah is calling the Lord his portion. He's saying, I find everything I need for today in the Lord. He is my portion. Therefore, I will wait for him. And I think this is really important for us. When I say that a new day with Christ brings exactly what you need, sometimes we always want more than what we have. But we always have just what we need for the day. And I want to encourage you to seek that out. When you are feeling weighed down by the world, or when you're feeling guilty, or when you're feeling tired or exhausted or weary, to seek the Lord and say, God, I know that you will provide everything that I need today, for today. Maybe not for tomorrow, but the strength for today. Strength for today. Give us today our daily bread. We see that echoed in Jesus' words, right? When he's teaching his disciples to pray, he says, give us this day our daily bread. Not give me a month's supply, right? He's saying, give us today our daily bread. A new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. He is what your marriage needs. He's what you need when you're weak. He is your strength when you're weak. He is the way when you are lost. He is the comfort when you're hurting. He is the joy when you're down. And this is something we have to teach ourselves. How do I find peace in the Lord when I'm feeling discontented in my heart? That's something that we have to go to Him, lock ourselves away if we need to, quiet the room down, and just force ourselves to focus on the Lord and open ourselves to Him and allow His peace to come in, allow His comfort to come in. It's a supernatural thing, guys, which is obviously like not natural. You can't just go to like Starbucks and all of a sudden feel the peace of God. Like there has to be a space where we get with Him and we teach our soul to resonate in His presence. He is exactly what we need. A new day with Christ brings exactly what we need. Number two, a new day with Christ brings the hope to keep going. Not only is it what we need right now to survive mentally or physically, but it's also to hope to keep going. The song talks about the thrill of hope. Have you ever, like, I want to talk about my son here real quickly. Like, it's like, what are you going to say? And I'm like this too. There are times, actually, you know, I'm going to switch. I'll let Lincoln off the hook and I'll talk about Heather. Lincoln's like, woo! So this week, and it's sad. This is kind of a sad sort of hope story, but this is it'll illustrate what I'm talking about, the thrill of hope. Oh. So Heather, you know, Black Friday shopping and all the Christmas shopping and all these things, there are things you really want. Sometimes you can find a really good deal, right? Well, there's this coffee maker that Heather wants called the Keurig Duo. It not only makes a single cup, but it also makes a carafe, which is great because we, you know, have family over a lot, and so we want to have that. And ours is currently broken, and so Heather found this really great deal, but it said it was sold out everywhere, and it appeared as though it was in the store. There were like two or three of them left, and so I said, "Hon, I don't think it's going to be there, babe. I really don't." So we drive out to Robinson, which is, you know, across the city for us. It's like a 40-minute ride, and it's fine because we were already heading out and everything. But I said, "Do you want to go to the store and see?" And she goes, "Yeah, let's go look. I don't want to get my hopes up." And I said, "No, you shouldn't get your hopes up because it's not going to be there." So we walk inside, and, you know, we walk to that area, and she looks over at the shelf, and she goes, "Oh!" Because she saw what appeared to be the Keurig Duo. And as we get closer, we realized it was an imposter. It was the Hamilton Beach version of it, which is not the same thing, and it wasn't the same price, and you just saw her heart sink. But what we had for a moment was the thrill of hope, right? The thrill of hope against all odds. When you see something that grabs you, the thrill of the moment, right? This song talks about it. Here's the thing. You need to understand, if you haven't, you don't know church history, that 400 years had gone by since any prophet had spoken in the Bible. So the close of the Old Testament in Malachi to when we get to to John the Baptist coming and talking and speaking and calling out, make way in the desert for the Savior is coming, right? 400 years had gone by. And this song is talking about, right, the holy night when Jesus Christ was born in a manger, right? The thrill of hope because a weary world is about to rejoice because the Savior, the one that for 1,000 years, even more than that, the prophets have been calling out, like all the way back into Genesis. And then we see the Psalms where David is writing and talks about the Savior and the Messiah coming. And Jeremiah and Isaiah and Ezekiel, all of these prophets in their poems and in their books that we read about all call to the coming Messiah. And here on this night, a thrill of hope. Can you imagine the world who, even the Jewish people who are just so broken, they've been their homeland, they're under Roman occupancy, right? Everything that they've known, they've faced genocides and it would not stop, which we know, right? Like, to know that the Messiah is coming, a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices. Lamentations 3:25 continues, "The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him." So not only is a new day with Christ bring exactly what you need, a new day with Christ also brings the hope to keep going. I heard this quote. It says, "You can live 40 days without food. You can live 8 days without water. I don't know how you can live four minutes without oxygen, but you can live only a few seconds without hope." There's this kind of like silly joke about, what was that movie? It was Anakin. Padme dies because of a broken heart in Star Wars. I don't know that you can literally die because you don't have hope, but I will say that your life is miserable. If you've ever been in a hopeless situation, you just feel like at the pit of your soul that there is nothing. And I think that's the beauty of hope, is that even when you feel like against all odds, like there is no way to move forward, hope gives you enough strength to move forward. And that's the beauty of the gospel of Jesus Christ, is that we know that no matter how hard it is today, that there is the hope that one day all things will be restored, even if it's not today, even if it's not tomorrow, even if it's not in my own lifetime. And I want to, real briefly before we move on from this part here, think about what are the things that we hope in. We put our hope in a lot of things. We put our hope in, some of us, maybe our paycheck or in our retirement plans or the stock market. Some of us put our hope in the company or the school or our degrees, you know, that these are the things that are going to, that give us where we need to go. For maybe some of us, it's a person. We put our hope in that this person's going to show up when they say they're going to, or that they're going to, in a relationship, or take care of us. You're going to, you know, any outcome of something that's in doubt, we put our hope in a lot of things, but we have to put our hope in him, to trust that no matter what happens, we know that he will make things right in the end. Verse 23 again, this is Hebrews 10, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess, for he who promised is faithful." So there are certain things that are promised throughout Scripture, and when we hold on to them, God is faithful to his promises. "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess." Hold unswervingly to the hope that we profess. A new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. A new day with Christ brings the hope to keep going. And finally, the new day with Christ brings the help that you're seeking. Lamentations 3:26 says, "It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The salvation of the Lord. Sometimes we have to wait to get whatever it is that we're hoping for. Sometimes it doesn't come. And that's the hardest part, is when we pray, "God, would you heal me of this thing? God, would you answer this prayer? God, I'm waiting for you to make this situation right." Sometimes all we can do is wait, and it's hard. But we have to put, our hope and our trust in the Lord for the help that we're seeking. He says, "It is good to wait quietly for the Lord, for the salvation of the Lord." It's amazing the difference of what waiting just one day can make. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. But Jesus raised him from the dead already. Like, they waited an extra day, and then he was raised from the dead. The woman with an issue of blood waited for 12 years to be healed, and she kept going. And in the hope that she heard that the Savior, the one that she'd heard about, Jesus, was in town, and she pushed through a crowd to touch him and was healed. The 38-year-old man who was blind at the pool. And I don't know if you ever heard this story. It's kind of an obscure story of where once a year an angel would come and touch the water, and would the first person to get to the pool to put their hand in would be healed. There was like a legend, you know, in the Jewish people. It's actually in the Bible. This is crazy. It's there. But like this idea that they believed that an angel would come and touch the water, and the ripples would stir the waters, and the first person to get there would you know, would be healed of it. So this man was blind and couldn't see, and he required someone to get him there. But every time that he would hear it, he would try to get there. But because he couldn't find his way, he just, you know, he would never get there in time. And so he was stuck in this perpetual life of hopelessness of never being healed. 38 years this man was like that. And yet he kept hoping, kept waiting. And then Jesus comes and he cries out and Jesus heals him. The point of this here is that what we're looking for, no matter what it is found in Jesus Christ. And this song, O Holy Night, right, all starts with this, the thrill of hope for a weary world. If you find yourself weary, you find yourself tired, you find yourself hopeless, you find yourself weighed down, put your hope in the Lord. And the prophet Jeremiah says, it is good to wait for him. That's so hard. Like, how is it good to wait for something when we're in pain? All three of those stories had one thing in common. They had an encounter with Jesus. And so the things that we're all waiting for, like, I'm not saying don't continue to work hard for the answer. I'm not saying don't continue to push forward in finding a solution in the normal world. But what I'm saying is don't ignore the one who gives us the strength to continue to move forward. Don't make him the last one to turn to. Let's let him be the primary fuel that causes us to move forward, that gives us hope every day. A new day is coming. Romans chapter 13, 11 and 12 says this, "The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over and the day is almost here." I want to read the first verse of O Holy Night one more time, and then we're going to just kind of go into a time of discussion. O Holy Night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, until he appeared and the soul felt its worth. It's a thrill of hope. The weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. And the only proper response is, fall on your knees. Hear the angels' voices. O night divine, the night when Christ was born. A new day with Christ brings exactly what you need. It brings the hope to keep going, and it brings the help that you're seeking. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you that you came to earth. I thank you that you were born, that you actually became human, that you took on our likeness, our body, and that you grew up, you lived. We know that you know exactly what we're going through because you have felt all the ranges of emotions. You felt the fear and the doubt, the pain, the guilt, the suffering, all of these things, God. The sin that was put on you when you were on the cross. You have taken everything and you did it willingly. God, I pray for each of us as we move into the month of December, as we think ahead towards celebrating, you know, Christmas Day, that each one of us would recall the thrill of hope, that you would restore hope in each one of us for whatever it is that feels long forgotten. God, if there are things in our lives that are causing us pain, if there are things in our lives that are causing us anxiety or fear or stress, God, or depression, God, any of these things that we maybe are feeling emotionally or physically, even spiritually, God, I pray that you would let us call us back to hope in you. I pray that you would remind us of the hope that is found in you, that all things are working together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose, and that is us, God. We know that you are faithful. God, we trust you. God, give us faith to trust you. And for the days when things seem dark and bleak, God, for the days that we're weary and we're tired and we're exhausted, I pray that you would give us the strength to look towards tomorrow. Give us what we need for today. Be our portion, God. Let us lean into you, God. Let us study your word. Let us remind ourselves of the scriptures, God. Let us remind ourselves of songs that will encourage us. God, we ask for your hope to live in us. Let the light of the new and glorious morn just light up our soul, light up our minds, God. Take our focus off of what we don't have and what we are waiting for, and instead focus it on you. I thank you for that holy night that you came. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you call Encounter Church home, or if you'd like to partner with us to support the work that God is doing here, you can take advantage of our online giving option. Just go to encountergiving.com. Also, stay up to date with us throughout the week by following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at EncounterPGH. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.